Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's wonderful to be together. Great to be able to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Matthew 26 again and picking up where we left off. But before we do that, let's come to Him in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, which is rich and true, and we do ask that You would bless it to our souls. Use it to nourish us and feed us, that we might know You more truly, that we might love You, and that we might follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, turning through to Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read from verse 17 through to 35. We're going to skip over a section, not because I don't think it's important, but we're going to skip over the institution of the Lord's Supper, because I want us to consider the two sections on either side today. So Matthew 26, beginning at verse 17. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Well, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. And the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, down to verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Well, it's a passage we're probably all very familiar with if you've been in the church for any length of time. It's a story that's pretty famous, really, the betrayal of Jesus and the denial of Peter and also the other 10. I don't think we really often talk or think about the denial of the 10 other disciples. We tend to just think about Peter being so close to Jesus and the way it plays out. Yet it is worth remembering that all 11 disciples denied him. That's what it says in verse 30 through 35. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Jesus tells his disciples that one of them is going to betray him, and that 11 of them are going to deny him. That is like the 2 pieces of bread on the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is fascinating, but we'll think about that tomorrow. But these 2 pieces of bread on either side of the Lord's Supper tell quite a grim tale, don't they? They do highlight a couple of glorious things for us. They show us the sovereignty and control of Jesus, that even in this dark hour of betrayal, denial, death, torture, he is the one that's in control. Jesus is guiding things. He's telling them what's going to happen. They're not telling him. And I think it's important for us to remember that when Jesus is dying, It's not happening to him in the sense that he's an innocent victim who's out of control, but rather he's an innocent victim who is in control, who is sovereignly ordaining these things to come to pass. He is obediently following his father's will, who is leading and guiding the events of history. And that's important for us to remember. Yes, Jesus died at the hands of sinful men, and yet Jesus willingly gave up his life. We think of the passage in John chapter 10 on the Good Shepherd, where Jesus says the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes it from him. But notice more importantly what is said about the betrayer and about the deniers. So Jesus comes and he reclines at the table with the 12, and he looks around and he says, "Truly one of you is going to betray me." To betray someone is to hand someone over. And so one of you is going to betray me. And obviously this is pretty upsetting. We see in verse 22, that they are all very sorrowful. All of them. And you can appreciate why. He doesn't say Judas is going to betray me. He says one of you. You can imagine him looking around the room. Maybe he pauses on Judas, we don't know. But he looks around the room and then he says, one of you is going to betray me. Imagine how you would feel if this was around your dinner table in the evening. If you sat around with your family and then one of your children, or maybe the father of the family, looked around at all the children, at the wife, at the children, and said to them, one of you is going to hand me over to die. One of you will betray me and betray this family and deliver me over to die in the courts of men. It would be a pretty shocking moment, wouldn't it? In our families, we would probably wonder if it was a joke, and yet you would recognize that your father was deadly serious. And so Jesus is deadly serious in this comment, and the disciples are sorrowful, and they begin to ask him one by one, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" Jesus answered. Now it's telling, it doesn't tell us here, but in John it tells us that he says this quietly to the Apostle John. He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me," alluding to it. Now it's clear, it's very clear that when Jesus says that, it does not reveal to them at that moment who the betrayer was, because none of them do anything to stop him, do they? In John, we're told that Jesus then says to Judas, "Now go out and do what you've been told to do." Now, you remember what it says? It says the disciples expect Judas to go and give some money to the poor. They think he's a good guy. No one expects this whatsoever. But eventually, Jesus says, "The Son of Man goes as it is written, but woe to the man who carries out this act." So Jesus is painting a very grim picture, isn't he? It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Jesus is telling us that this betrayer, this one that will betray him, which of course is Judas as we know, this betrayer, he goes freely of his own choice. He goes freely of his own choice. And yet his decision in the moment to sell Jesus over 30 pieces of silver, verse 14 to 16. It would have been better for him to never to have existed than to betray the Son of Glory. And then we are introduced to the 11 deniers. "You will all fall down because of me this night. You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Peter says, "I won't deny you." Jesus says, "You will." And all the disciples, verse 35, all the disciples said the same. So you get the picture, don't you? Okay. So Jesus said, Judas, you're going to deny me. Judas leaves. if you match this up with the other gospel writers, Judas now leaves. He then looks to the 11 and says, you're all going to fall away because of me. You're all going to deny me. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between Judas and the 11? What's the difference between Judas and the 11? What's the difference between betraying and denying? Both of those realities come from the same heart and spirit, don't they? Every one of those disciples was going to acknowledge that they do not believe in Jesus. Just like maybe you and I know various different people that through their words or through their life actions have acknowledged that they do not believe in Christ. And some continue to walk in rebellion and some do not. So how do we square up the difference between Judas and the 11? Do we square it up the way that Arminians would? And you can correct me if you're an Arminian and I'm wrong about this. But an Arminian would say, well, that's because human beings have the free will to be able to walk away or return as we choose. So Judas was saved, chose to no longer be saved, wandered away, and did not choose to come back. Whereas the 11 chose to be saved, chose to deny, and chose to return again. And so they would argue that same way for your loved ones. But I think that's overlooking a very significant point that happens in this passage. Have a look with me back at verse 22 and 25. In verse 22, the disciples, verse 22, they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, so not all of them say this, but they began to say one by one, is it I, Lord? And you could imagine, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And at his left, Peter's sitting there. Peter says, is it me, Lord? No. And James says, is it I, Lord? No. And around the table, Bartholomew and the other Judas, and around the table. And eventually it gets to Judas. Actually, if I remember rightly, I think Judas was sitting at his left, but whatever. It gets to Judas. And notice the distinct difference that is noted. Verse 25. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? Now consider for yourself a second, why is it that all 11, this is how it's painted, all 11 say, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Kurios? Is it I, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God? Why is it that 11 say that and one man says, is it I, Rabbi? Well, we remember that at this point, 14 to 16, Judas has already betrayed Jesus. What's going on? Well, I think the simplest way of understanding this is Judas's heart is already black. Judas has never been saved. He may have walked with the disciples. He may have looked and smelt everything like a disciple, but he's clearly not a disciple. He sold himself to the devil, and he sold himself to the Pharisees, and he sold himself to the wickedness of his own heart. He's never loved Jesus. Jesus has never been the Lord and Savior of Judas. He's only ever been a convenient teacher, a way for him to gain money. We saw that last time. And yet, here and now, we see the true spirit and heart of Judas coming out. Whereas the other 11 disciples, what do they all acknowledge? They all confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And what does the Bible tell us? All who confess Jesus Christ as Lord will be saved. And what happens? These 11 men commit basically the same sin, in heart, the same sin as Judas. And yet, Jesus Christ returns, restores each and every one of them. And it's hinted at, isn't it? Verse 31. You will all fall away because of me this night. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 32. I will go before you to Galilee. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, you're all going to walk away. Yet, I will come and restore you in Galilee. It's okay. Because my grace is sufficient for you. What's the difference between the 11 disciples and the betrayer? Jesus is the Savior of the 11 disciples. And he is their Lord. But he is not of Judas. Well, it raises a great question for you and I, isn't it? And it's not whether we've betrayed Jesus or not. It's not whether we're a betrayer or a denier. The great question is whether we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, and we pray that as we walk away today, that you would help it to be true of us, that you would be our Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon, same place, same time. Have a blessed day.